For that special. It is a joy to be here this evening. We are the Jordan Family Missionaries to the Dominican Republic. My name is Ben. My beautiful wife down here is Samantha. And the little one right there, her head and eyes are peeking over. Sophia, 3 years old. And we have Olivia, 2 months old in the nursery. We appreciate you being in your place this evening. It's a joy to see the Lord's house filled, even when their pastor's gone. And I hope and pray that that's what they're doing back in the Dominican right now. No. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to pick up right where we left off there. I want to tell you, it's a joy to serve the Lord. It's nothing better. Most of us think as Christians that because we're Christians, we shouldn't have to go through hard times. Hard times, and as the Bible talks about, gives us patience and helps us and perfects us in His work and in His ministry. Such a joy. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I made reference to verse number 4 a little bit ago. And in verse number 5, if you turn your attention there, the Bible says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." Just a personal testimony, that video was the hardest thing I've done in the last year, actually, putting it together. Many of you knew Pastor Josh Wesson, and he was more than a pastor to me, to us. He was more than just a friend. He was family as we lived two doors down
from there.
You never want to go through something like that and you just hope and pray the whole time that you're going through it that you find God's purpose in it. Whatever trial you go through, whatever struggle that the Lord has for you, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's hard to find it. It's hard to see it sometimes, but there is. But what verse number 5 helps us to see is that we don't do it for ourselves. We don't even do it for other men. We don't serve God because of our pastor. And we love and appreciate Pastor Angel, and I can't imagine if something would happen to him. But we don't even serve God because of our pastor. We serve God because of God. We serve God because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation and His work that He's done in us and through us. And if you notice the phrase there at the end of verse number 5, the Bible says, "And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake." As I begin to study that passage, I thought at the beginning that we were your servants, and we are, as we are serving on the mission field in the Dominican, and you are supporting us, and I do want to thank you so much for doing that, your faithful support and prayers. But the Bible talks about your servants, and we are their servants. Those that are outside these walls, those that are without the knowledge of Christ, those that are still in the darkness, we're their servants. Each and every one of us, we're their servants. And what we do is if we look in verse number 3, our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And let me tell you, we're their servants, those that are lost. And if we can catch a hold of that this evening, we can go places. And if we can understand that it is our job to take this blessed old book that we hold in our hand, and we take the news that's in there that we call good, and we take it to someone that doesn't have it, and we share the light of the good news to someone that's in darkness, we can give them hope. You know, through the whole time last year, we never lost hope. Why? Because hope is not in a person that's here on this earth. Hope is in a Savior. It doesn't matter what happens. Hope is in a Savior. I want to encourage you. Thank you so much for just watching the video. Thank you for your prayers throughout the last year. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Samuel. We'll be there this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I wanted to encourage you as you pray. I believe in specific prayer. And we are earnestly praying that God would give us land. Right now, as the video mentioned, the Lord has placed us as the intern pastor of the church, Lighthouse Baptist Church. And in March, we'll celebrate 10 years. And it's a blessing to see how the church has grown. And then now, as the Lord has put us over the ministry, how the people have just gotten on board and just gotten encouraged and excited about going forward. And that's been the central theme of this whole last year, is just going forward and continuing the work that Pastor Josh started. And what a joy it has been. But we're landlocked is really what our problem is. And we really have a limited amount of space to be able to grow, and really no ability to change the ministry. We've talked about going to 2 services and different things like that. Please bring prayer with us. Just an idea. The building we have and the property we have is about 450 square meters. and it's not a very big property. Probably half the size of this auditorium is really what the whole property is. And we're looking at several different pieces of land. The reason we're looking at moving, we're renting right now, and we would have to destroy everything that's on the property now to be able to rebuild. And so we'd like to, our own piece of land. The smallest piece of land we're looking at is about 1,000 square meters, with a little over double what we have. And that's about $65,000-$70,000 just for the land. The piece of property that I really want is 3,000 square meters, and that one is running about $250,000. So the city is Santo Domingo. It's in a very heavy populated area, about 3.5 million people. And so everything's very landlocked. There's not a lot of opportunities. We would like to stay in our central area that we're in, the neighborhood that we're working in. A lot of our people walk in, and obviously the van routes we're talking about. We have 5 van routes, and we do pick up the majority of our people right now. And so we would love to be able to centralize and reach the area that we're in right there. It's called Maximo Gomez. So I truly appreciate your prayers with that. And then as you're making notes of that, if you'd just like to specifically pray for us, pray for our two Bible college students, Francisco and Richard, and they're actually brothers, and we are investing a lot of our resources and time and effort into them. They're very good young men, and just pray for them. Pray that we would be able to get several more interested and ready to be in the Bible Institute. As you saw in several of the pictures, the Lord has just really, really blessed us, and this is where we really felt called to stay in the ministry, honestly, right there where we're at, is because we have about 20 young people that are faithful, solid young people that want to serve God and come out soul winning and do the bus routes and different things every single week. And so such a joy to be working with them. And we're really working with them, training them, giving them opportunities to serve, opportunities to preach. And so I appreciate your prayers with that. I can't thank you enough for your faithful prayers and support for us. It's such a blessing to see you, blessing to be here. If you remember, just in the back there, please pick up a prayer card after the service there. And we truly appreciate your prayers. So 1 Samuel chapter number 17 this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 will be in a very familiar passage of Scripture this evening. I have a simple message. We'll kind of go down through the whole story here, but I pray that it be a blessing to you this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and if you would, look in verse number 3. We'll begin reading. The Bible says, "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines." Philistines, you got to forgive my English. It's not very good now, so I'm not very good in English right now. "Named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Look, if you would, in verse number 8, we'll continue reading. The Bible says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye soldiers, ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man to fight, give me a man that we may fight together." This evening I want to speak on this subject, a mission bigger than yourself. Or as we include everyone in here, a mission bigger than ourselves, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you, O God, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for speaking to me already. I pray, dear God, that you'd speak to your people, Lord. I pray that as your word is opened, I pray that you'd bless the reading. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the message, O God. I pray that you'd fill me with your power, speak in and through me. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening, I want to just speak a few minutes to you and I. I want to speak to us this evening, okay? I might get down on your level a little bit, but I want to make it personal. A lot of times we come in and out of church service and we see the doors open and we see the doors close and we feel like we've checked our card and we did all right. We came to church and it's a Wednesday night, so hey, we got brownie points because we came on Wednesday night. And I want us to apply the message this evening. We're talking about a mission that's bigger than ourselves. As Pastor Josh passed away and we started and began to look at everything that was happening, and I realized that it was me or nobody. And I realized that if this ministry was going to continue, someone had to continue it, and I was the guy, and praise God for that. A lot of times we don't feel like we're able, and that's where I was at that very second. We had just been on the mission field for about a year and a half, and I had just barely began to speak Spanish real well. Not real well, I don't speak Spanish real well, and now I don't speak English hardly at all, so you have to forgive me. This is a problem when you learn a second language, your first language leaves too, and so you try to speak them, and it goes down, they got downhill real fast. But I took on the task of taking over the church, taking over the ministry, and it was scary. I'll be honest, it was scary. It was nerve-wracking. And I had never pastored before. I was the assistant pastor, the youth pastor, the teen pastor, and just that's a job in itself, just trying to rowdy those kids up and get them. Their energy is fantastic, but getting it funneled in the right direction, that's the key. And that's what I've been working towards. I love our youth. Our teens are great, great teenagers. But as I look towards that, I realize that the mission, as we call it, was bigger than me. It was bigger than me. It was bigger than my family. It was bigger than the church, actually. And we're talking about the church. We see Goliath. Now, Goliath was a big guy. I need a small guy. I need a small guy to play David. Who can play David this evening? Can you play David? What's your name? Come on up. Joseph? Come on up, Joseph. All right, give Joseph a round of applause. His name's going to be... You're David this evening, okay? Now, Joseph... David, I'm going to get confused here. I'm going to call you David, okay, so that I can keep it straight. All right. David, you... Don't make me very happy, David. I'll tell you that much right now. And I'll tell you why. Because growing up, I always wanted to be David. I always wanted to be David, but the teacher, the person in charge, they never let me be David. You know who I had to be every single time when we played David and Goliath? Who did I have to be? Why would you say that I had to be Goliath? I'm not the biggest guy out here. How come I had to be Goliath every single time? Now, it really hurt me, actually. It hurt my feelings. And every single time they would say, all right, you're Goliath. And I'm like, I want to be David. Please let me be David. Please. See, you got to be David. I don't understand what happened. I'm going to put you Goliath and I'm going to be David. How about that? You can sit down. All right. The thing is, in life, we face Goliath. It's true. And we come up on enemies that are bigger than ourselves. And sometimes we want to defeat the enemy. Sometimes we just want to run away. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I want to look at four things this evening that will help us to accomplish the mission that's bigger than ourselves. We have to come to the grips and realize in our lives that there's things that happen that are bigger than us. There are ministries, there are opportunities that God gives us that are all bigger than us. And God wants us to grow and God wants us to change. And our faith is supposed to grow, right? And our faith is supposed to equip us to accomplish more for Him. That's what it's supposed to do. We're not supposed to stay where we were when we're saved. Now, at salvation, that's a great point of starting. That's our starting point. But in life, the faith that we have to save us is supposed to grow so that when God calls us to other things and bigger things, then we're able to accomplish those things. And we'll talk about those. Look in verse number 17. We'll see the first thing this evening. The Bible says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with Philistines." And look in verse number 20, and what's the Bible say? "And David," what? "Rose up early in the morning, and what did he do? Left the sheep with the keeper," and then notice the next word, "and what? Took and went as Jesse had commanded him." Let me tell you, if you're going to accomplish a mission that's bigger than yourself this evening, the first thing that you have to do is you have to obey the call. You have to obey the call, because at the point of the mission, even before David even knew the mission, he had already received a call. And if you remember, the call was not to go fight Goliath. Jesse didn't say, "Hey, go fight Goliath." No, he said, "Take the bread, take the cheese, take the corn to your brothers." You know, young people, children, teenagers, adults in here this evening, what we have to realize, if we're going to do something big for God, we have to obey God first. If we're going to, teenagers, let me ask you this morning, this evening, if you're going to do something for God, you have to obey your parents first. In order to obey God's call, we have to obey our parents' call. God's not going to call you to something bigger if your parents are telling you in the morning to pick up your room and you're not doing it. Okay? That's what we have to realize in our life. These are simple things, but these are honest things that we have to do, is obey the call. We notice that David's call wasn't huge at the beginning. All he was supposed to do is to take the bread, take the corn, take the cheese, all things that I like, and take them to his brethren. Now he did it. He rose up early, and he ran. He ran with purpose. That's the thing that you see in David's life, is he runs with purpose. In the beginning of this book, we see another young man named Samuel. And if you remember the story, he received a call as well, didn't he? He received a call from God, but who did he go to first? Went to Eli. Now, he didn't realize at that point that God was calling him. But he went to the person that he knew would be calling him if it wasn't God. Are we attentive to God's voice this evening? Are we attentive to the call of God this evening? In Romans 11 and verse number 29, the Bible says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." That doesn't matter if we're 5 years old, if we're 20 years old, if we're 50 years old, if we're 80 years old. If God's called us into His work, we can't go back on that. God called me to preach when I was 14 years old. He saved me when I was 4 years old. He called me to preach when I was 14 years old, and I should have started preaching when I was 14 years old. Now, what we ought to do when God calls us is we ought to obey first. We shouldn't ask why. We're in a generation of why, tell me why. We don't need to know why. We need to obey. Okay? God's calling is without repentance. Let me talk to some of the older folks in here this evening. Maybe you think that you've reached the point where you've expended God's call. If God's called you, your call is still there. You ought to still obey and do what God has called you to do. Look in verse number 23. We'll see the second thing this evening. The Bible says in verse number 23, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and came according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," what'd they do? "Help me this evening," fled from him, and what were they? Sore afraid. Sore afraid. Second thing that we have to do this evening, if we're going to accomplish something, a mission that is bigger than ourselves, Not only do we have to obey the call, but secondly, we have to overcome the fear. We have to overcome the fear, and this is where I'll speak personally to you this evening. Fear is a very real thing. Fear is a gripping thing. Fear can change your whole outlook on life. It can change your direction if you're not careful. And it can make you go backwards. That's what fear does. As I was out in the water that day, and I'll get not graphic this evening, but I'll get a little personal. And I saw Brother Joshua's body out there, face down, already gone, already with the Lord. And I begin to bring him into shore. Let me tell you, fear overwhelmed me. As I got to the shore, I collapsed on the sand. And I said, God, I don't know what you want. And I don't know what you're doing, but I need you more than I've ever needed you before. At that point, I'm telling you, I couldn't speak. Hardly. I couldn't understand a lot. And the Dominicans, every single person speaks different and you can't hardly understand one from the other. I was overcome with fear. That night as we were driving home after the whole day, and the Lord, I tell you, the Lord just blessed and helped me throughout the whole day. And as I was driving home, fear came again. And I was driving. And I had the group. I had Miss Joy and the two kids in the back, and I had 15 teenagers in the back of the car with me. And the first thoughts that came through my head was, I got to get out of here. I got to leave. I got to leave this place. Let me tell you this evening, that's fear. Fear will change you if you let it. And if you allow the fear to overcome and overwhelm you, it will. So what we have to do is we have to overcome the fear. Let me tell you this evening, one of the best ways to overcome fear is remember point number one and remember the call. To overcome the fear is you have to remember the why that you're there. Remember you're obeying the call, but through obeying the call, God will give you the why. You're not supposed to ask why first, but through that, God will give you the why. And then once you have the why, then when hard times come, then when trials come, then when the fear comes, you can remember why you're doing what you're doing and who you're doing it for. That's the best and that's the beautiful thing about it. Look, if you would, as you continue in the text in verse number 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And when thou, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And in David's mind, he's thinking, what battle? You guys are sitting there afraid. Verse number 29, the Bible says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Let me tell you, and these missionaries that are in Turkey, these missionaries that are in Russia right now having an issue, they're faced with this question every single day as their faith is persecuted. And we better wake up this evening because our faith is fixing to get persecuted right here in the United States. A couple months ago in the Dominican, we thought it was a Christian, or not a Christian nation, but we thought that it was religious freedom to some extent. And in front of the Senate, they brought up a bill getting ready to take every religious freedom away that we have. No preaching in public, no knocking on doors, no naming the name of Jesus, no preaching outside of appointed times, no having music louder than it should be in your auditorium or anything. I mean, they were going to put stipulations, and they're still talking about it. Please pray for that, and you should pray for your nation as well. David says, is there not a cause? We have to remember our cause this evening, and we have to be willing to do something about it. Look, if you would, in verse number 32 this evening. The Bible says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Young person this evening, let me tell you, do not ever let serving God or someone else stop you from serving God. Don't let them. Because they will come and they will try to convince you otherwise. If you remember, right there in the beginning, his own brother, his family, tried to detour him. I have family now, and some of you know them, that say that we're slaves to religion because they're liberated. I'd sure rather be slave to Jesus Christ than slave to whatever they're slaves to. Amen. I'm prepared to amen myself this evening, and so don't make me get started. The third thing that we have to do in order to accomplish a mission that's bigger than ourselves is we have to outfit for the battle. I'm trying to stick with O's this evening, so outfit for the battle. We have to equip ourselves. We have to put on that armor. Look, if you would, what David answered Saul in verse number 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I won't read the rest for sake of time, but you'll see later that Saul tried to put his armor on David. The first thing, I'm kind of smart, Alex, so the first thing that I would have told King Saul was, why don't you have your armor on, and why aren't you out in the battle? Why are you giving me your armor? I didn't understand that part. As I grew up reading the story, I was like, I don't understand this part. But David tried on the armor, and man, it looked real nice, and it was real saggy because he was David, and Saul was almost Goliath. I mean, Saul was head and shoulders above everyone else, if you remember. But look, if you would, and this is amazing. Look, if you would, in verse number, let me find it here. And verse number 39. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. For he had not, what does it say there? Proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five small smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Let me tell you, to outfit for battle, we have to outfit with the right equipment. And our equipment in this spiritual battle is not physical armor, is it? It's spiritual armor, and we could look in Ephesians chapter number 6 and talk about the spiritual armor. Our armor doesn't go with us. Our armor is part of us, isn't it? And praise the Lord, our armor is in us. With the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us, If you remember, the first thing that David took with him was the Lord that delivered him me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. You understand that the Lord is the one that has the power, not the sword, not the sling, not the stones. It was the Lord that delivered him. It was the Lord that accomplished it. It was the Lord that did that wrought the great victory, not David in himself. It was the Lord in him and through him that did the greatness through him. Amen? We have to remember this evening that with a call and with an acceptance of such call, the devil is going to fight. The devil is going to rear up his ugly head and he's going to fight with all his might to take us out of the battle. You wonder why David and always was needing delivered from his enemies? Because he was in the battle. He was fighting. He was doing the work that everyone else should have been doing. He wasn't even part of the army. And the whole army was scared. The whole army, including his brothers, including King Saul. King Saul wasn't even there. And we wonder, why does it seem like these missionaries have problems? They're in the battle. They're in the battle. And we ought to be in the battle too. And let me tell you, if we have problems, we ought to know. If we're in the battle, we ought to know, praise God, it's because we're doing what God has for us to do. And God will get us through. And God will help us. And God will equip us. He will outfit us for the battle. Ephesians 6 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore take upon unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Sometimes it's hard enough to just stand. But with God, it's possible. Amen? A lot of times, all God's asking you to do is stand. You understand that this evening, a lot of times God's just asking you to stand in the gap. What did Nehemiah say? Stand in the gap. I need someone that has a little fortitude that can build the wall. Look at the last thing this evening and we'll be finished. Verse number 41. Verse number 41, and I love this part. Don't miss this part. "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. And he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine," if you remember, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Let me tell you, if someone defies God, you ought to bring God right back to them, because he does not like that very much. Verse number 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you unto our hands." And verse number 48, "And it came to pass, when the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted," you notice, without fear, "and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slang it, remembering the things that he had already known." Okay? This is obeying the call. The sling and the stone represent the call. And what we have to do is when fear comes, you can't say that David wasn't fearful. He was standing in front of a giant. He reached his hand in his back like he had done before, and he carried on to the battle. The middle of the verse, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and don't miss it, with the power of the Lord. We need to do the fourth thing in order to accomplish the mission that's bigger than ourselves, is we have to outwit and overpower the enemy. Outwit and overpower the enemy. And the only way to do that is to do it with the all-knowing and all-powerful God. Because let me tell you, we're up against an enemy that is more intelligent than us. That has more tricks, that has more devices than we do, that has more tools, that is bigger, that is stronger than us, but we serve a God that's bigger than all. And we serve a God that's stronger and more powerful than that devil, that enemy that is up against us. If you look in Philippians 4 and verse number 13, is in the Bible for a reason. I can do all things through who? Through ourselves? Through our parents? Through our church? Through Christ, which strengthened me. With what power does He strengthen us? With His power, because He is all-powerful. Praise God that we serve a God that's alive. We serve a God that's bigger than the enemies. We serve a God that doesn't bow down to Noah, that doesn't take any grief from anyone. And we can do all things through Him. Even through difficulty, even through dark times, even through struggles, even in the midst of fear. Understand that this evening. Even in the midst of fear, we can do and accomplish more for God with Him on our side than trying to do it ourselves. David was a hero. And he was willing to leave everything and give his life on the battlefield. Over and over again, he was a hero. Brother Josh was a hero. He gave his life for the young people in the Dominican Republic. There were 15 that we took. And that day, there were 10 of them in the ocean with Brother Josh. And at one point, there were 6 of them that were drowning. When I got out to the water where they were, at that point I wasn't in the water, and when I noticed that they were having issues, I got out there, and we were able to rescue all but 2 of them. Brother Josh and another young person passed away that day. And I praise God that we were able to save the 4. Are we willing to give our lives for the people right here in Bourbonnais? You willing to give your life for your family? It's a blessing to have Miss Joy and the kids back with us. They moved back a month ago, serving God in Dominican. You say, Brother Ben, how do they do that? They didn't serve their dad. They served God. They didn't serve the ministry. They served the God that's powerful enough to take them through each and every struggle and trial. We have a Savior that's more than a hero. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for us. He gave His life as a sacrifice, taking on our burden, taking on our sin. Who knew no sin. Let me tell you this evening, we can accomplish the mission that's bigger than us only through Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this evening, where are you at? Where are you at in your mission? Are you in the battle? Are you in the battle? Maybe you're here this evening and you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You couldn't honestly tell me this evening, Brother Ben, I'm not in the battle yet because I'm not saved. Would that be you this evening with an upraised hand? Would you say, Brother Ben, please pray for me? I don't know Christ as my personal Savior. I sure would like to know. I would like to get in the battle. Would that be you this evening? Would you raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you. How many of you in the battle? How many of you saved this evening with an upraised hand? You'd say, Brother Ben, I know there was a time and a place that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm in the battle. Can you raise your hand this evening as a testimony of hands all over the building? In a room a size like this, I'm afraid that not every hand was able to raise. One more time I want to ask. Would it be you this evening that would say, Brother Ben, I have doubts. I have fears because I'm not in the battle. I don't have Christ as my personal Savior because I've never accepted Him. Would you raise your hand? Slip your hand up right there. Let me see it. Let me pray for you this evening. No one else looking around. How about you this evening? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put that hand down. Anyone else this evening? How about you, Christian, this evening? You've accepted Christ as your Savior, but now you're in the battle and you don't know what to do. Maybe you don't know where God would have you. Are you sensitive to God's call? God has a call and He has a purpose for each and every one of you this evening. Maybe you'd say, Brother Ben, pray for me. I don't know God's call in my life yet, but I would sure like to know. Would you pray for me? Raise your hand this evening. Thank you, young people. Raise your hand this evening. If you don't know what it is, thank you, sir, for your hand. Anyone else that would say, I need to know where God would have me to serve. How about you, Christian, this evening? Are you overcome with fear? Are you letting fear get the best of you this evening? Let me pray for you this evening. With an upraised hand, let me pray for this evening. Say, Brother Ben, I'm struggling with fear in my life. I know what God would have me to do, but I'm letting fear stop me. Would you pray for me? Let me pray for you this evening if that's you. Whatever the need is this evening, I'm going to pray and we're going to have a time of invitation. If you need to do business with the Lord, you need to get saved, you need to get baptized, join the church this evening, Brother Bragg's right there at the front. I'm going to pray and we're going to have a time of invitation. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love to us. Give us a good time this evening. Oh God, I pray that You'd continue to work in us and through us. Speak to us like only You can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand as the piano plays. The Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? Talk to God about that tonight. What is it that spoke to your heart? Is He calling you to do something specific? Does He have something for you to do? Maybe you already know what it is, but fear has crept in these days that we live in the crazy world that we have. Are we fearful to do what's right? Remember the cause.